Kelman on cliffcentral.com.
Right then, so good chance you have had one too many cookies at the cookie jar this winter, and you're looking at yourself in the mirror and you're thinking, oh, I promised myself I wasn't going to let myself go. Or not, because there's some people who love the idea of being an athlete and love being active all year round. In fact, some of them like it even more in winter when it's colder and harder to get up, and they like the different conditions and, you know, exercising in that sort of space. One of those people I would imagine who's not like you and I, who does not pack on the pounds in winter and then get confused in summer when we get onto the scale and the thing breaks, is Anna Watkinson, who is a Barclays Africa investment banker by day, and then by night she's cycling and she's running and she's swimming and she's just living her best Ironman life. Anna, what's happening?
Well, I'm very thankful to be here. It was a bit of a random surprise to be interviewed by you. I think my palms are sweating a little bit more than they do at the start of an Ironman on the beach there.
No ways. I can't believe you. I've always looked at this Ironman thing and thought, wow, those people are very impressive. For someone that's never come across Ironman or just hears the term, what does it actually involve? What is it all about?
So just to go back to your introduction to this, I'd have to say my status relationship with Ironman is it's complicated. An Ironman is a triathlon, a long-distance triathlon. It's 3.8-kilometer swim, 180-kilometer bike, and then a 42.2-kilometer run, a marathon at the end of it. Ironman is the brand. Born, if you know the history.
180-kilometer cycle.
That's right.
You said 180-kilometer cycle, a 3.8-kilometer swim, and a 42.2-kilometer run.
That's correct.
Is this like...
For fun.
Okay.
And you end up in the same spot that you started at, often.
Wow. And, okay, tell me more before I poke a lot of questions here. Okay. Yeah.
So, just going back to how it started, it was... as most things start, a discussion around a table with drunken guys discussing who was the better athlete, the swimmer, the biker, or the runner, and agreed that the next year they were going to come and do the Waikiki Wild Water Swim. They were going to run the Honolulu Marathon, and they were going to cycle around the island. And one of the guys stood up on the stage and said, whoever wins will be the Ironman. And it was as simple as that. So
Wow. A
very random name. So if anyone asks me, do I get offended by the fact that they call it an Ironman? No, not at all.
Yeah.
I see myself as an athlete as opposed to, you know, female or male in this regard.
Huh.
Although I'm very glad that I'm competing against the females in the race as opposed to the males.
It's unbelievably impressive. I'm looking at your triathlon history. I mean, you started taking this very seriously back in 2010. And ever since then, it's like you just each year seem to do more and more events in a better and better time. You started out in 2010 doing this Ironman. What? In 5 hours and 15 minutes? Oh, wow. That's how long it takes me to do a 5K run. Okay, so you started out in 2010 with that, and you've taken your time down immensely, and you've done more Ironmans in different locations. When you started this out in 2010, did you have any idea that it would take the narrative that it has in your life?
Absolutely not. Probably because the reason I started it was because of a guy.
Oh, really? What happened?
I was running around with a lot of friends of mine and enjoyed running, obviously, to keep the waist down and for the thigh gap, right, ladies? I met a guy, and he was a cyclist, and for a Christmas, I got a helmet, which I was wondering what I was going to do with this.
He gave you the helmet?
He gave me the helmet. I was hoping for perfume or a handbag.
That's
but got
forward.
The helmet.
Okay.
You know, no glove, no love. No, as my friends say, no helmet, no ride.
Okay.
So
these Iron Man jokes, yeah?
These Iron Man jokes, yes. Very predictable, very boring if you live in the world of Iron Man. And so he was going to do a half Ironman in 2010 and said, would I like to do it? And a couple of my friends were doing it, and I was like, why not? Sounds fun. Entered, did it.
Do you train together?
Not often.
Okay.
We did a little bit of training together. I am type A personality. He was jack of all trades, master of
none. So this has ended since?
Well, it ended because as I crossed the finish line, I mean the start of the end was, as I crossed the finish line, he looked up at me and said, you beat me. And I think that was the start of the end of that relationship.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it got a little too competitive, right?
Oh, really? Okay, sure. Okay, well, listen, it's the one way for the relationship to go out. You're better off without that guy. What is a half Ironman?
So half Ironman is literally half an Ironman.
Okay,
so
cool.
It's a 1.9K swim, a 90K bike, and 21 half marathon.
Is it a good way to meet potential bays?
It's a good way to meet a lot of people with a lot of good bodies that have very specific diets and very specific training habits.
But I mean,
but the after party, that is well worth it.
Is this like, I mean, do you do the thing that the cyclists do where you eat all the carbs the night before and then you do the thing the next day? Like,
oh, there's huge debate around nutrition that I don't think I would even want to open. What I do is I do eat a lot of carbs. I like food. I eat a lot. It's often commented about from a lot of my girlfriends, and although I am an athlete, I am girl first, so I do take a little bit sensitive, like, oh yes, it's a huge plate of food, but I do actually carb up probably 3 days before an event. Yeah,
so I mean, back in 2010 you didn't really know the intricacies of this whole Ironman thing. I mean, you're speaking now about nutrition and that, and probably then you had no idea, because once you start getting immersed in a community like this, and it really is a community of people, everybody has different opinions on what you eat and how you train and what you do and when you should do it and how do you like all of that stuff. So it must be interesting for you to look back on the past 6 years and also look at how you progressed within an Ironman context and think back to yourself in those beginning sort of phases of getting involved in it.
Absolutely. My first half 2010, I went and quickly bought an energy drink that I'd been using, only to discover a couple of months later it was a recovery drink that I'd been using during the race.
Huh.
So from where I've come to where I am, it's day and night. And I think that's mostly because, as you've said, you know, I've raced a lot more. I've gotten to learn a lot more about my body, and also I've gotten to talk to a lot of people in it and take some advice from people and know what advice not to use, because it doesn't, you know, either work for you or is right for you.
You're a very impressive individual outside of this Ironman thing. I mean, your 9-to-5 is, of course, that you work at Barclays Africa as an investment banker. You've got loads of different qualifications. You're a CA, you're a CFA. Very impressive here. What is it you think, with a career that at that point was very cemented already, and a trajectory that was, you know, pretty solid, is it, do you think, that drew you to expanding yourself in this direction, in a direction of, you know, not just being mentally fit, but physically fit as well?
That is a very long answer to that question, but I'll try and keep it short. You know, love my job, love the people I was working for. So I changed jobs. So give that context. I was in the hardcore investment banking area, where we did equity linked financing, so share backed funding, BEE transactions, convertible bonds, and I worked for incredibly bright, brilliant people that expected nothing but the best from me. Was very lucky that they expected nothing from the best, but so did my coach. So I literally was hanging by a thread. And that was up until last year. And then I got the opportunity from my company to move into fintech startups, which is a lot more flexible. And I work dynamic working hours, but now I work investing in these companies that are, you know, challenging the traditional banking methods, and especially in South Africa, which is amazing. So being able to balance them both was always difficult, but I figured at this age, because I'm not 21, unfortunately, it was now or never with the sport, and to see how far I could go. And my coach, Reinhard Tissink, you know, turned to me last year and said, would I consider being professional? Now, when a man that's won 8 Ironmans, come top 10 in the world, probably one of the best athletes South Africa has seen in an Ironman context, says that to you, you kind of like feel quite complimented, and you do give it real consideration. And then I spoke to a lot of older people. I say I collect old men. I really enjoy their conversation. And, you know, a couple of guys on the other side of 55 said to me, you know, if they had one regret, it was not pushing themselves in a sporting context. Huh. And what's 1 or 2 years out of your career? In fact, it probably adds value to your experience, the person you are, and how you can operate in business. Mm. So I see it as complementary. Ultimately, it is hard for a type A personality to take the foot off the gas in a career context, because that's what I wanted to be, was a career woman, you know, challenging men in the boardroom, not on the bicycle.
But how do they unlock each other? I mean, how do we take, on the one hand, this career in finance and what you're doing, and on the other hand, you know, a triathlon and cycling and swimming and running and doing it to the best of your ability? In terms of the mental game that both of those employ, how do they weave together? What do they unlock within you when used together?
So one of the things I say about a triathlete, and I mean, I do stand to be corrected because I don't want to insult anyone when I say the statement, but one of the things I find is that we become very one-dimensional. You know, you are focusing on pushing your body to the exclusion of everything else. I actually switch off a lot during triathlon, and I find it's the one that, you know, when you're considering some crazy problem at work and how to solve it, whilst you're busy training, when you're pushing that hard and you're focused solely on moving your body forward, you'd be quite surprised at the clarity that you have when you come back to the desk. And I find that actually across the board in finance and in general corporates, you get a lot of people that are wanting to do this, to push their body. And I think it's because we're sitting and we're pushing our mind and it's stressful. And the stress relief comes from pushing your body and knowing what you can do physically. I'm not really sure that answers
question. No, it does. Because I always think, like, what is the ideal life? Like, if society hadn't told us X, Y, and Z, and we hadn't put in the things that we put in place, like be married by a certain age or get a degree in this or whatever, like, if we had to take all of those societal conditions out and we genuinely just looked at what is going to, you know, enable you to live the best life, would it be, how would you balance this mental aspect versus this physical aspect? How would the mental aspect impact the physical aspect? How does it all kind of work together? What would be the ideal ecosystem? And it seems like in your instance, you're striking quite a cool balance between those two sides of what it is to be a human being. You know, what's happening in the head and then what's happening with the body.
Absolutely. And I think, I mean, to tell you the feeling of joy I felt, you know, qualifying and getting my first job and the feeling of being able to be in control of your life was amazing. But I started in the sport doing a 21-kilometer run, and it wasn't a particularly good time. It was Pirates 21. But when I got into that field, I cannot tell you the sheer joy and feeling like, oh my God, I've just run 21 kilometers. That felt impossible. It also feels sometimes impossible that you're going to get a deal through in, you know, an organization. But the challenges and what you draw upon are different. What Ironman has done for me is, last year in particular, I went to Ironman Austria by myself, no friends, no one, a girl traveling by herself to Austria, where they're not all speaking English, and I was about to go and do quite an emotional event. At the end of that event, I thought, I can do anything, and not just sporting-wise, but anything across, you know, whatever you put your mind to, whatever you decide to push forward and make a priority, you can do. I believe that about anyone. My mantra is always, you know, X, Y, Z is my priority. Because everyone always says to me, I've got no time. Where do you find the time? And I'm like, well, my priority is training or working. And therefore, I will rather give up sleep and wake up at 3 a.m., which is what I was doing last year, not this year, thank goodness. But if you don't want, if you say I've got no time, rather say I choose sleep as my priority, or I choose to spend time with my children, my family, you know, my friends, socializing, TV. That's awesome. But make sure that that's your choice and that's your priority and be aware of it. Don't make an excuse. Make a choice.
Do you think some people don't expect enough of themselves?
I think some people don't expect enough of themselves until they have to carry every single grocery bag into the house. You watch people load up. They're not going back to the car for a second trip. But yes, I think if you challenged yourself as much as that, you could probably exceed. And also, I think the idea of it just seems completely impossible. And I might seem at this point in time unreachable to the guy that's going to think, can I do a half Ironman? Can I run a 21 kilometer? Believe you me, I couldn't run 5 kilometers at one stage. I couldn't run 21 kilometers. But everyone starts somewhere, and it just, we human, you know, Maslow hierarchy of needs. You know, you achieve one goal and the next goal happens, and then you start racing your friend or you start racing your time. And I think you start bettering yourself. I think just getting your foot in, dipping into the water, kind of ignites a flame.
You got to get your toes wet.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm looking at some of these recent times, the Ironman in Durban, you did in 4 hours and 35 minutes. In Dubai, 4 hours and 22 minutes. I mean, it's levels. I just have to remind everyone again that in 4 hours and 22 minutes, she manages to swim 3.8 kilometers.
No. So that's a half.
Oh, that's a half.
Thank goodness. Yeah.
I was about to say.
If I was doing it in 4 hours, 22 minutes, I think that I would literally have to retire now because I was the best in the world. No.
That's levels. I mean, it's 1.9 kilometer swim, 90 kilometer cycle, and a 21.1 kilometer run. I mean, it's mammoth. What is the goal here? Because I see you're doing very well in all of this. Like, you're coming first, you're coming second, you're doing very, very well. You're now in the pro age group, so a proper professional when it comes to this. Like, how do you continue to move this bar?
So, like I said, you know, when I spoke to my coach last year and he said, you know, to up your game, you know, you need to start racing against the professionals and be just by racing more competitive girls, your game will naturally become better. So those results look great, but I mean, if you look at the time differential, and now I'm selling myself down the river, but in Ironman Lake Placid, which I competed with in July in the US, amazing race, by the way, absolutely phenomenal. I've never felt so much support in one point. I couldn't actually hear myself, and you can't stop but smile. The Heather Jackson won it. She's probably one of the best in the world. She beat me by 35 minutes. So that's the gap I want to bridge. So my view is, in going professional, it had to be for something grand, right? Mm. On your perfect day, what would that mean? That would mean a top 10 finish in Kona. Am I ready for that this year? Absolutely not. I need that gap to bridge. So, you know, my strategy with my coach is to go and race as much, get a lot more experience, and then hopefully bridge that gap to be able to race against the best and come top 10 on that perfect day. And I say on that perfect day because endurance sport, there are so many variables out of your control.
Mm.
And for it all to come right on one day, and I mean, the Olympics, let's use that because it's top of mind at the moment. For it all to come right in that one race in that 100 meter swim after
that
4 years.
In time, yeah.
I mean, like, the chances are worse, well, probably worse than possible. And so I say for the perfect day, that is the goal. But it doesn't mean that necessarily I will achieve my perfect goal.
I mean, it's interesting you speak about the Olympics. I've been watching a little bit of it. But I do wonder, you know, I mean, I'm not an endurance athlete. I barely run 5 kilometers. But someone who is an athlete and who takes this, you know, so seriously and has incorporated it into their life and is competing at the level that you are, what kind of eyes do you watch the Olympics with?
So I reposted a comment yesterday that I read that said, we need somebody that's average competing to give reference.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we realize how amazing these athletes actually are. I'm just blown away every time I watch them. You know, they're just incredible human beings. And not even just from the perspective of what they're achieving to represent their country, B, against the best in the world, but the dedication and sacrifice that they had to do it. So, you know, sport at that level is not always feeling good physically. They're going to have to endure a lot of hard times, a lot of failures, a lot of hardships, tears, to get to that point. You know, I watched Eddie the Eagle on the flight back from the US, and I just had to love that because he did something that was special for the average person, but showed the difference of what it is and the commitment that you have to be to give, you know, these athletes on a day-to-day basis, on a year-on-year basis. It's just unbelievable.
It's a lot of commitment. Take me through your average day. I mean, this training must just be wild.
Ooh, average day. So 5 a.m. wake-up call this year, thankfully. First thing first, coffee.
Yeah, okay, right?
Before you do anything. And then I'll usually head out either for a swim bike, a swim run. And usually the swim is anything between an hour to an hour and a half.
Huh.
The bike will be anything from 2 hours to 5 hours. And in the afternoon, I'll usually do a run or a bike, depending what I've done in the morning. And that can range anything from an hour to 2 hours.
Wow. So every day you do all three disciplines?
Either two or three disciplines, yes.
You have to, because they all have to be equally sharp.
Absolutely. I mean, triathlon is not three disciplines. It's one sport, right?
Yeah. It's very, very... And eating, what do you eat?
Everything.
Really? Are you on this Phelps diet of just waffles and McDonald's and all of that?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, I've become one of those people that I detest, and I don't work well with gluten. So I'm doing everything, which does not mean that I'm banting. I eat a lot of potatoes, you know, and things like that. But I love chocolate. I love burgers. Before races, I eat a lot of pizza. Before training on a weekend, I love food. And I really, really say no to much.
What do you think it is that people can really take away from your story so far and what you've done in the decisions that you've made, in how you've executed on different aspects of your life and what you've learned? What do you really think is the one thing that stands out as specific to you that people can really learn something from?
So two quotes come to mind, and I've written those down. One is Nelson Mandela's, you know, it seems impossible until it's done. I can go through a six-hour cycle and think about a 10-minute run at the end of that cycle and think, how am I going to do this run? And yet you'll do it and you'll execute it above expectations and you'll look back and you think, I can't believe I did that. So demand more from yourself and challenge yourself. And then the other one is my coach always says, try. Yeah. Just try. What's the worst that could happen? Okay, well, then I didn't reach the goal or I didn't hit that number in a racing or in a training schedule. And then what? Well, I'll try harder next time, or I'll have improved by just doing that session. I think we're too scared, first of all, to try, and we're too scared to try when we perceive it to be impossible. You know, when you look at the people that have done Ironman, there's a guy that's Super Pete. I'm sure you've heard about him. He's a C6, and I'm going to get it wrong, but it's a C6 paraplegic who just has the use of his upper arms. He's done a 13-hour Ironman. There's a girl who's beaten cancer who's finished Ironman. There's a girl that unfortunately didn't beat cancer but did an Ironman, and it was her saving grace. There's a girl who couldn't swim and made the swim cutoff at 70.3 by 5 seconds. The power of that moment was just wordless, speechless at this point in time. And my point is, those girls and guys challenged themselves to do something that they once thought was impossible.
It's what you got to do. I mean, this is great information for life. You must annihilate in the boardroom as well. I have no doubt of this kind of attitude, because this has taught you so much about not giving up, being persistent, all of that stuff that we speak about a lot on Instagram, but don't always actually go on to live or to fulfill. It's important to post the quote on social media, but then also really incorporate it. And in your context, that means up at 5 o'clock in the morning, swimming and running and cycling and conquering in the business world. You really do live it, which I think is the coolest thing. It's been so cool having you stop by. How do we connect with your journey in all of this?
Well, I mean, I'm on Instagram. I'm on cool. Facebook.
You must have a cool Instagram. When you're traveling the world doing Ironman, it must be a very cool Instagram.
Well, I like to think it's quite a cool Instagram, although I follow a lot of people and I think they have amazing. I don't really run and cycle and swim with my phones, which I see a lot of people do.
What's the handle? Let me judge this. Yeah, let's have a look.
AnnaBanana247.
AnnaBanana247.
Well, actually, I think it's AnnaB. Sorry.
AnnaB247. Let's have a look.
So 247, just for context, is my birthday, 24th of July, which I quite like. 24/7, you know.
Okay, I'm trying to find you. Just spell that handle out again.
AnnaH.
Yes.
B247.
Let's have a look here what you get up to on the Instagram streets. It says, yeah, living the dream. banker, triathlete, globe traveling chatterbox, and nerd. And of course, you shout out to your coach as well. Now, you've got a very cool Instagram. I'm looking through it now. It's Anna with an HB247. Oh, wow. And you even build Lego.
The Big Bang Theory. It was quite fun. A real challenge.
Yeah, you built a Lego based on the Big Bang Theory, and then you hashtag penny, 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 penny. Okay, there you go. Listen, it's been very... Yeah, you put an Instagram up of Bill Murray's quote there. Every Olympic event should include one average person competing for reference. Yeah, because it is something. But you look like you're well on your way to being on that kind of stage as well with what you're doing. Which is very, very cool. All right, it's been so cool having you in.
Thank you so much.
Leave me with one final word that if I try and embody this word a little bit more in my life, I might have a bit of a better life.
Oh, that's a hard one.
I know.
Oh, one word.
No, it can't be Iron Man.
No, determined.
Determined. I love it. So impressive. What a rock star. You really, really are doing unbelievable stuff. That's Anna Watkinson there. Like I said, by day, she's a Barclays African investment banker. And then by day as well, and then sometimes night, basically 24/7. She's also this Ironman rock star, and she swims for kilometers and cycles for even more kilometers and runs for more kilometers. And very, very impressive. Anna Watkinson, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you very much for having me.
How to start your great with Kellogg's and the Kelman 20.
Don't procrastinate. Do what you want to do and do it now.
Be as good as you can, but they can't actually ignore you.
Run your own race and stop comparing yourself to other people.
On your own pace, your own race, your own lane.
Love yourself enough to work on yourself and be honest with yourself.
The main thing is action every single day. Small attainable goals that will get you in the right direction.
Hashtag start your great.
I am a South African. I carry the hopes and dreams of my country and the generations to come. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters.
At Sibanye, we believe the future of our country will be defined by our actions today, which is why we are committed to the development of our leaders. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Kelman on cliffcentral.com.